Right now on the program, we're happy to welcome in, my goodness, he got so many hyphens because he does so much. Singer, songwriter, musician, actor, and host. He's got a brand new album called Leave a Scar. It is tremendous. We are so happy to be joined by Dee Snider. Dee, thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be here. I wanted to change my background to something more appropriate. Actually, this is really appropriate for a station owned by Stephen King, now that I think about it. And great to be on The Zone. I don't know. Well, you know what? You may know this. The first radio station, top 40, it was considered a top 40 station back in the 80s, to add We're Not Going to Take It as a single was The Zone.
Absolutely. We do know that.
First station, because Stephen made the call and said, I wanted to hear this song on the station. So thank you, Stephen.
Now, we were also talking to some of the folks who have been around here for a while, and they seem to remember, too, that you were banned from Bangor, Maine, after an appearance here. What the hell happened, Dee?
Banned in Bangor. So, I mean, some people may remember the way it used to work. I mean, Stephen, you know, I mean, rightfully so, he's a bring the mountain to Mohammed kind of guy. And I don't know if he still does it, but back in the 80s, he would promote shows and bring in bands that he liked. And I know he had, I think, the Ramones up there and maybe Cheap Trick. I'm just riffing here a little bit. Mm-hmm. I seem to remember some bands, and he would get them come out. We were starting our Stay Hungry tour. Twisted Sister was a biker bar band originally, and we were rough around the edges, no doubt about it, especially when you're wearing women's makeup. You have to be. Got to be tough. And they used to have like a – you guys would have like a monthly – sock hop or something at the high school gymnasium and bring in a big stage, and you'd have a national, from time to time, a national recording act.
Right.
Well, this national recording act happened to get arrested in Amarillo, Texas for profanity and disorderly conduct at some point in his career. And I just came into town doing what I always do. And the folks of Bangor were not quite ready for all the F-bombs I was laying out.
Well, it's different times. We're much more comfortable with that kind of thing. Now, hey, how are you feeling, Dee? You had tweeted this out earlier that you were one of those breakthrough cases. You've been vaccinated, but you got COVID-19.
Yeah, I'm fully vaccinated. I'm a vaxxer and a masker kind of guy. Got COVID, and it was so mild, I thought I just had a cold, and I went to the drugstore and picked up some Advil and some Sudafed, which killed the symptoms. I didn't miss a beat as far as business or anything, as far as Zoom and all my work. And I said, let me get a test just for the heck of it. And I tested myself, and I was positive, and so was my wife. So it lasted 3 days. Like I said, I didn't miss an interview. I didn't miss a Zoom call or anything. I felt fine with a little bit of basic medication, and it's completely gone in 3 days. So now I'm just, you know, we're quarantining because you need to stay indoors for 10, but we feel fine. And I, you know, I can always say that I'm thankful for the vaccine because it made it so mild. It was a non-event. Not everybody is so lucky.
No, absolutely. Well, and that's not going to prevent you from doing a streaming live concert tonight.
Fortunately, this was filmed. It starts in like a few minutes if it didn't start already. It was filmed last month during that real valley we had. So when it was first booked, it was like, listen, you can only have a couple hundred people in a little club. And it was like, okay. And then suddenly there was like, well, you could do 300. They've changed the protocol, 400. Hey, things are better, 500. The night of the show was doors wide open, lines around the block, shoulder to shoulder, old school concert. Did not turn into a super spreader event. It was that valley in COVID, and we filmed it. And since then, we had the new variant came out, and now things we couldn't possibly do it live if we wanted to now. So, but that's airing. And if you check it out, please go to metaldepartment.tv, metaldepartment.tv. It'll be running for the month of August, I think.
That's fantastic. We're talking with Dee Snider here on Downtown. The new album is so good, Leave a Scar. Last time out, you did For the Love of Metal. It was great. It was a huge success. Did you think that was it? Did you think I'm done?
Yeah, I was so overjoyed to have found my place in the contemporary metal scene. the album made it to the top 20 on the Billboard charts. I'm sure confusing the heck out of Drake and Kanye West. Okay, what's this old white guy doing up here? And but I thought, you know what? Drop the mic, walk away. I do many radio, I do TV, I do many other things. And but then, you know, about, I don't know, 6-8 months into this whole COVID thing and the world losing its mind on so many levels, I just had this thought, I got to rock again. And it popped in my head and I laughed because, boy, if ever a Dee Snider song, that's I Got to Rock Again. And I wrote it down because I work off song titles and I read it to my back. I said, I think the world is feeling this right now. Like the world is feeling so pent up. I got to rock again. So that started the whole ball rolling. And plus, I hadn't written a song since 95.
Wow.
And suddenly I just felt I had something I needed to say. I realized I'm one of those guys who speaks for those who have no voice. You know, the we're not going to take it guy, the guy push back, fight back. And people needed somebody who wasn't on the extreme left or the extreme right, the loudest, most bullying voices in the room, you know, and somewhere in the middle. You know, and someone to speak for those, for the majority of us and say, hey, wait a second. We have a voice here too. We have a say in what's going on.
Well, man, it's a great song. It is an anthem and it's the best of both worlds. It's classic metal, but it sounds very, very contemporary too. And not just that, the whole album, Time to Choose is a great song too.
Thank you. That's really crazy because I actually brought in a death metal singer that to sing on there. Those that the guys who don't sing melody. Mm. But I thought it was a very heavy song, and I said, oh, this will be really cool, you know. So you know what? The song is very. It's kind of thing, you know. You do the record, you're writing, you're creating, and then you step back at the and you look at it. And I was taken aback by how intense it was, how heavy, how aggressive. But for me, it really spoke to the time we're in and from my frustrations with the world. And but then there's the first 11 songs. Be prepared, people. I'm pretty much beating you about the head and face for 11 songs. And then suddenly, for no explicable reason, I stop and I do a ballad at the very last song. And I very calmly speak to you. I almost talk. And now that I have your attention, I just want to tell you to stand up and make sure your voice is heard because it's important. And it's probably one of the most important songs I've ever written. It's a ballad. And it's the last song on the album.
You've worked in both worlds. What's the connection? Is it a natural connection between metal and horror?
You know what? I really believe that, you know, people ask me that a lot. And certainly there's a connection for me. They're both visceral art forms. They evoke very intense reactions. One through scares and one through, I don't know, it's power and its ferocity, the music. And I think they connect there. And then heavy metal likes to play with a lot of those scary themes that horror books and horror novels use. And not many other music forms do, you know, really. So, and I, for one, have really sort of adored it from my makeup to, you know, to a movie I wrote called Strangeland. And I've gotten more and more into writing thanks to Steven. If he listens to this, dude, I've written my first fictional novel, nothing to do with rock, nothing to do with horror. But I certainly got an education from all my reading Steven's work. And it worked in my music. It worked in everything I do. I'm directing my first horror film next spring called My Enemy's Enemy that I wrote. So I've definitely been connected. Okay, I blame Stephen King. That's it. I realize it's all Stephen's fault. So yeah, it's because of Stephen. That's it.
Nothing wrong with that. You've done so much in your career, Dee. Now, was it when you were on Broadway in Rock of Ages that you ended up collaborating with Patti LuPone and B.B. Newworth for Dee Does Broadway?
Yeah, you know, I was raised on show tunes. I mean, you know, and people go, really? I go, what about the makeup and costumes doesn't scream musical theater? I mean, you know, I mean, why are you so shocked? And then when I started in Rock of Ages for 3 months, it really reconnected me with those, you know, those childhood roots, because that's when it was. My parents used to take me to shows all the time. And I had the idea to do an album called Dee Does Broadway, taking traditional Broadway songs, not rock Broadway. That's easy, right. Too easy. But songs like "Mack the Knife" or "Somewhere" from what's the one? "Luck Be a Lady Tonight." Things like that, and I'd rock them out, you know. And I started reaching out to the community, and so all of a sudden I've got Patti LuPone in the studio with me, and Bebe Neuwirth, and Cyndi Lauper, and I remember being in the booth while Patti was recording. I go and I muted the mic. I said, "Does she know who I am? Because I can't believe I'm singing a duet with Patti LuPone." But when I talked to her and Bebe, they said, "Dude, what do you think we grew up on? You know, Led Zeppelin, rock and roll, we're Beatles, we're rock kids." He says, "This is they love the idea of rocking out the songs."
I love it. It's great stuff. I wondered, do you still hear from people? Do people still appreciate the work you did back in the 80s in battling against Tipper Gore and the Parents Music Resource Council? I know fans appreciate it, but I have to think other artists do as well.
You know, not a day goes by that someone doesn't literally just walk up on the street and shake my hand and say, "Thank you. Thank you for that." And it's nice to be appreciated and respected. It's always being talked about. I spoke to like 97th graders recently about the whole experience. The reason I was there is because I was on Cobra Kai. So any questions for Mr. Snyder? What was it like to be with Johnny Lawrence? I'm like, okay. I wasn't with him. I was just on the show with him. But anyway, yeah. And especially now, look, you know, people, they're surprised when I say that since the first word was spoken, there was someone saying, "You can't say that." Okay, there's always been censorship. It never went away. We didn't stop it in the 80s. It's the interesting thing is the pendulum has swung, and where the 80s, the Reagan era, was a right-wing conservative, puritanical-driven censorship, it swung, and we've got a left-wing hypersensitivity, let's not hurt anybody's feelings, mm-hmm. you know, warm and fuzzy censorship. But it's censorship just the same.
Right.
You know, so it's done a weird turn. It's a very weird turn.
We had Mark Metcalf on the show not too long ago, and he had some great stories. He told the story about making the first video. And is it true? He said he had no idea, had never heard of Twisted Sister, and you picked him up at the airport.
Oh, yeah. So first of all, why would he hear of us? We weren't famous or anything yet. We were just a weirdo band. So I came up with the idea for the video, and Marty Colin, the brilliant video director, he and I were working on it. He says, "So who do you see for the part of the dad?" I said, "Well, you know, if we could only get someone like the guy from Animal House." I didn't think I knew his name. The guy from Animal House who played Niedermeyer. If we could find an actor who's something like that. And I remember Marty said, "What is he doing? Working on a cure for cancer? I haven't like seen him since that movie." He goes, so, you know, a phone call was made, and Metcalf said, "I need some work." So, coach plane ticket, and they're bringing him out to LA. So they're going to send a runner down to pick him up. And I'm like, "No way." I said, "I am picking up." I'm such an Animal House fan. So I get to the airport, my big hair, my platform shoes, and I'm at baggage claim. I'm looking around. All of a sudden behind me, I hear, "Are you looking for me, mister?" In that Nina, I'm like, "Nina Meyer!" And there he was in living color. And so great guy, great experiences. You know, he subsequently went on to be on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Seinfeld, The Maestro, and he's done so much work.
He had to sleep on a couch, he said, when he was with you.
Yeah. I mean, it was rough and tumble, but he still says to this day, it's what do you want to do with your life? You know, it's like you can't escape that one, you know, that video.
He said it was one of the few things he did that his dad was proud of.
Go figure. Linda Cardellini, who's a very successful actress now, she was in The Green Book, and you know, she's done so many great movies and very talented. And she was in my movie Strangeland. And And she's on the poster with and my character had sewed her mouth shut, tears in her eyes, terrified on this poster. She said it's the only poster her parents have hanging in their house. All the work she's done, they got a picture of her with her mouth sewn shut. And she says, I wonder if they're trying to tell me something.
Dee Snider with us here on Downtown. Of all the things you've done, this might be the most impressive. You've been married for 40 years.
In October 23rd, 40 years, I've been with her for 45. I like to say that, you know, look, I didn't screw it up. I almost did, you know, and thankfully she is a strong woman and she was there for me when I had nothing, when I had everything and when I lost everything. I didn't think for a second she might leave me. She just said, I'll go work in a hair salon for a while and help pay the bills, you know, and it's that kind of relationship and I'm blessed. Because so many of my peers have screwed that particular thing up, and if you can find a good one, hold on to dear life and hope she doesn't throw you out. That's all I can tell you.
Dee, hey, thank you so much. The album is great. Leave a Scar, a streaming concert tonight, and who knows what'll happen next? You got more things in the works than anybody I know. Great to talk with you. We'll pass along a message to Steven as well.
Yeah, we'll talk again when I launch my new horror television show, my animated series on Peacock called Monsters Rock, which I co-created, my movie, and my book. So I'll talk to you when you do those next, okay?
Fantastic. Thanks, Dee. Be well.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That is Dee Snider with us here on Downtown. Great stuff.